The Sound of Thunder, Courtney, Book 2. Written by Wilbur Smith and read by Sean Barrett.
Chapter 1. 4 years of travel in the roadless wilderness had battered the wagons. Many of the wheel spokes and disselbooms had been replaced with raw native timber. The canopies were patched until little of the original canvas was visible. The teams were reduced from 18 to 10 oxen each, for there had been predators and sickness to weed them out. But this exhausted little caravan carried the teeth of 500 elephant, 10 tons of ivory, the harvest of Sean Courtney's rifle. Ivory that he would convert into nearly 15,000 gold sovereigns once he reached Pretoria. Once more, Sean was a rich man. His clothing was stained and baggy, crudely mended. His boots were worn almost through the uppers and clumsily resoled with raw buffalo hide. A great untrimmed beard covered half his chest, and a mane of black hair curled down his neck to where it had been hacked away with blunt scissors above the collar of his coat. But despite his appearance, he was rich in ivory, also in gold held for him in the vaults of the Volkskorst Bank in Pretoria. On a rise of ground beside the road, he sat his horse and watched the leisurely plodding approach of his wagons. "It is time now for the farm," he thought with satisfaction. 37 years old, no longer a young man, and it was time to buy the farm. He knew the one he wanted, and he knew exactly where he would build the homestead. Sited close to the lip of the escarpment, so that in the evenings he could sit on the wide stoop and look out across the plain to the Tugela River in the blue distance. "Tomorrow early we will reach Pretoria," the voice beside him interrupted his dreaming, and Sean moved in the saddle and looked down at the Zulu who squatted beside his horse. "It has been a good hunt, Mbujani. Nkosi, we have killed many elephant." Mbujani nodded, and Sean noticed for the first time the strands of silver in the woolly cap of his hair. No longer a young man either. "And made many marches," Sean went on, and Mbujani inclined his head again in grave agreement. "A man grows weary of the trek," Sean mused aloud. "There is a time when he longs to sleep two nights in the same place, and to hear the singing of his wives as they work the fields," Mbujani carried it further, "and to watch his cattle come into the kraal at dusk with his sons driving them. That time has come for both of us, my friend. We are going home to Ladyburg." The spears rattled against his rawhide shield as Mbujani stood up. Muscles moved beneath the black velvet of his skin, and he lifted his head to Sean and smiled. It was a thing of white teeth and radiance, that smile. Sean had to return it, and they grinned at each other like two small boys in a successful bit of mischief. "If we push the oxen hard this last day, we can reach Pretoria tonight, Nkosi." "Let us make the attempt," Sean encouraged him, and walked his horse down the slope to intercept the caravan. As it toiled slowly towards them through the flat white glare of the African morning, a commotion started at its rear and spread quickly along the line. The dogs clamoured and the servants shouted encouragement to the rider who raced past them towards the head of the caravan. He lay forward in the saddle, driving the pony with elbows and heels, hat hanging from the leather thong about his neck, and black hair ruffled with the speed of his run.
"That cub roars louder than the lion that sired him," grunted Mbujani.
But there was a fondness in his expression as he watched the rider reach the leading wagon and drag the pony from full run down onto his haunches.
"Also, he spoils the mouth of every horse he rides." Sean's voice was as harsh as Mujani's,
but there was the same fond expression in his eyes as he watched his son cut loose the brown body of a springbok from the pommel of his saddle and let it drop into the road beside the wagon. Two of the wagon drivers hurried to retrieve it, and Dirk Courtney kicked his pony and galloped down to where Sean and Mbujani waited beside the road.
"Only one?"
Sean asked as Dirk checked the pony and circled back to fall in beside him.